But outside of the setting of the clinical trial, we are often faced with women who really don't want to go on the trial, or we want to use chemotherapy combinations that aren't available. And in that situation, a woman who is receiving chemotherapy as first-line treatment, I think it's reasonable to consider the use of bevacizumab as long as they don't have, you know, out-of-control hypertension or other side effects that would preclude use. And they just have to be very aware of the toxicity. I'll give you one example. A young woman who had a triple-negative, so-called ER-PR HER2-negative breast cancer, bad cancers in her 30s, had a small tumor, completely removed, negative nodes, got excellent adjuvant chemotherapy, and 2 years later appears, she actually had bilateral mastectomies and saline implants. 2 years later, she comes in with a big central mass kind of over her sternum that's clearly residual breast tissue where she's had a huge local recurrence. Well, you know, she's been scanned everywhere and we can't find disease anywhere else. It's not clearly invading the chest wall. So this woman still is potentially curable. And, you know, we don't really have any drugs that we know yet we should use for triple negative cancers to target that cancer other than anti-angiogenic therapy. So actually, her insurer denied the use of bevacizumab. She and her husband elected to receive bevacizumab in combination with paclitaxel. She's actually receiving nab-paclitaxel Abraxane because she didn't want to get any steroids at all. And then we're appealing the decision on the insurer. And I think that's a reasonable option. You know, that's a situation where an improvement in response could translate into operability and improve long-term outcome.
How's she doing?
She's doing really well, actually. She was going to get her third dose today, but her white count was a little low. The tumor's already shrinking, which is very encouraging because she did receive docetaxel in the adjuvant setting.
You know, it's one thing to sort of read a research paper, see a bunch of numbers and curves, but also to see patients themselves. I know it's kind of dangerous to make, you know, observations on a few patients or a bunch of patients, but sort of gut feeling when you see women with metastatic breast cancer getting bevacizumab with chemotherapy, does the magnitude of the response seem greater than without it?
It is hard to say. I mean, we have these anecdotal cases where women had great responses and then they were very durable. But again, you know, because a lot of our experience using bevacizumab was in more advanced disease, it is a little bit difficult to say. We actually have to have a patient who went on a clinical trial that we did with Memorial Sloan Kettering on bevacizumab and an EGFR inhibitor called erlotinib. And she's now 3.5 years into her therapy and hasn't progressed as yet. She had taxane-resistant lung metastases. So there are clearly patients for whom that will be their only therapy that works well, and in some ways similar to giving drastuzumab to a HER2-positive breast cancer patient whose cancer's recurred after chemotherapy. So I do think that we'll be able to figure this out in the long run as we start using the drug more frequently in the metastatic setting.